Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the music, the specials this morning. What a blessing. Matthew chapter 26 this morning. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be reading verse 47 down to verse 56. If you would, go ahead and stand. If you're able to do so, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 47. The Bible says, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. And then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot? Now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you now, and we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for what we've already received. And now, Lord God, as we have opened up your holy word and read this passage of scripture, there's much that you would have us to receive from this passage of scripture. So I pray that you would, God, use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Verse 56, the Bible says, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." That word fled means signifying fear, and they ran away from Christ. Baffles my mind, and it should yours as well. Fear should cause us to draw closer to the Lord. If we're thinking right, that's exactly what we would do. But they were not thinking right. And they allowed the fear to run away from Christ. You see, less than 24 hours earlier, we find this very same chapter, Matthew 26, in verse 29, Jesus had revealed to him who he was, why he came, and fulfilling Old Testament prophecies, and he established New Testament ordinance of communion to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies and the Old Testament Lord's Day. And we find there in verse 29, he says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So they had fulfilled the Passover. He established the communion and revealing to them that heaven's real and we're going to have a tremendous fellowship reunion once this world is over, comes to an end, and we're able to spend eternity together. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. A communion, the ordinance of communion, is designed to draw the church closer together and help us to unite in our faith in Christ and accomplishing what God has us here to accomplish. And so they had just experienced that less than 24 hours earlier. And now they allow fear to cause them to run away. They fled because of wrong thinking. Can I tell you today, wrong thinking is very common. You never know what somebody else is thinking, but when you find out what they're thinking, you think, how wrong. When things are exposed that maybe they didn't think would be exposed, and then you have to face what you were thinking and how it led you to do what you did, and just crazy. As we think about that, there's no doubt that people do some very dumb, even stupid things because of wrong thinking. No doubt all of us can relate to that. I wish I couldn't. I look back over my life and I think, I can't believe I did what I did. And the only thing that I can think of as the reason I did some of those dumb and stupid things was wrong thinking. When I did them, I don't know that I thought I had wrong thinking. I don't think that I realized how stupid and how dumb they might have been. But then I now can look back and I got to attribute it to my own wrong thoughts. I've often asked myself, what was I thinking? I've used that term quite a bit through the years, raising children, especially when they get into the teenage years. Many a times, I address my teenage girls as, what were you thinking? Only to have a response of, I wasn't. As just acting. But as a pastor and staff, I could say every staff I've ever had over the last 37 years, I would have asked them at some point or not, what were you thinking? When I sit across from them and having them to have to answer, give an answer, and be accountable for what they've done. I remember one, in the wintertime, they were instructed, you don't take the buses into the trailer parks, picking up or letting off children, you always stay outside. I got a phone call, and one staff said, I got to tell you something, I went ahead and drove into the trailer park, and I hit a car as I was going into the trailer park. When I got to the end of the trailer park, I hit another car. As I was coming out, I hit a third car. And as I left the park, I hit a fourth car. What were you thinking? I hung up on them. Had a parent call me. They were concerned, as they should have been concerned, because the bus driver and the youth director were changing seats while they were driving on the interstate. What were you thinking? There was a thief, and of course we've dealt with some thievery around the church, but they stole the batteries out of our bus, and those are very, very expensive batteries. And we had to replace them, and I told the one associate, I said, thieves, they do that, and they will come back and steal the new batteries, knowing that you had to replace them. So I said, before you, we have an opportunity to put the locks on there to make sure that they don't get them, pull the other bus alongside of that bus so that they cannot get the batteries out of the battery compartment. Because, take it from me, experience, they will try to come back and steal the new batteries. They're worth more than the old batteries. The next morning I come in and the new batteries have been taken because he didn't park the other bus close enough to that bus to keep him from getting in and steal the batteries. And I'm thinking, I just told you yesterday, what were you thinking? And I could go on and on. Yeah. Once you have right thinking, most of the time we're embarrassed and ashamed for what we did while we had wrong thinking. Yeah. All forsook him and fled. It all began with Peter in his being rebuked for his wrong thinking. See, because in Luke's account, chapter 22, verse 49, it reveals that the disciples, when they seen the crowd coming out against them, the soldiers to be able to take Jesus away, in verse 49 it says, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? They asked him because they didn't know for sure, and the question was there so you can clarify it, so we can have right thinking in dealing with this situation. But Peter did not wait on Jesus' response. So we find here that Peter, the Bible says, and behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, we know it to be Peter, and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Jesus rebuked him in verse 53. And he says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? See, Peter, if you'd have been thinking right, and if you'd have been listening to what I have been teaching you all along, you would have had right thinking, and with right thinking, you would have realized it's not a time to pull out the sword. It's not a time to fight, because I'm the Messiah. Jesus was the Messiah. He could have called upon heaven to send as many angels as necessary to be able to battle whatever battles need to be fought, but that was not the right thinking at the time for Peter to question who he was and that he had to do what he wanted to do, and through his impulse actions, he pulled out the sword before Jesus would have instructed them, and he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear. See, Peter acted on his own thoughts, and they were wrong. See, Peter and the rest of them who forsook him needed the mind or the thinking of Christ. Matter of fact, we find in Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. But they had wrong thinking. Can I tell you, this is something that we had better be aware of in every area of our lives, in every thing that we face, at every age, and at every turn in life, every decision that we will make. We need to ask ourselves, do I have the thinking of Christ? Do I have the mind of Christ in getting ready to make whatever decision I'm going to make? Do I have the mind of Christ to be able to do what I'm getting ready to do? Do I have the mind of Christ in every situation that I'll face in life? If you don't have the mind of Christ, you have wrong thinking. They had wrong thinking, and in fear, they ran away from Christ. The Jews had wrong thinking and would crucify their Savior. Jesus, first of all, came for the Jews. Jesus came for the whole world, for God so loved the world, and he sent his only begotten Son. But he came, first of all, to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies, to be able to present himself to the Jews, and they rejected him, and they crucified their Savior. That's wrong thinking on their part. Judas, after walking with Christ for 3 years, seeing him perform the miracles that he performed, hearing his teachings, speaking like no man has ever spoke before, his wrong thinking led him to betray Christ. So why do people have wrong thinking? Why is so many people in the world today mess up in their thinking? Why do we have people acting like monsters, picking up guns and shooting whoever and they can come across just to make a name for themselves? Why do we have people killing innocent babies in the wombs? Why do we have the things that we have in the world today? Why do we have the wars? Why do we have all the filthy sins? I heard Brother Buddy teaching in Sunday school, in the Sunday school this morning, and why? John chapter 8 reveals to us why. John chapter 8. This is something the disciples would have heard Christ say and teach. In John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me. If you knew who God was and you had yielded to him, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, look right here, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. Because that's the kind of thinking you're going to have. I want to do whatever I want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. I'm going to take advantage of all the pleasures and the lust and the pride and everything I want. I will live my life the way I want to live. That's the thinking that most people, a lot of people have. It's wrong thinking. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. That's why people have wrong thinking. People reject God's words and they choose to believe what they want. And when you reject God's words, I guarantee you the devil will be there to suggest to you wrong thoughts. Most of the world today looks to the world and to worldly religions for what they believe, whether it be religious beliefs or worldly philosophies. They're not looking to God, but they're looking to the world. That's why we find in the Word of God in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, that's why the Bible reveals this to us. In 1 John chapter 2, and verse 15, it says this, love not the world. Because when you love the world, they're not talking about the physical aspect of this world. It's talking about the philosophies of the world, the ways of the world, the direction of the world, the mindset of the world. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's what Jesus was teaching. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. That's right thinking. That's something that you have to be aware of to be able to desire right thinking. The world is going to pass away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But most will look to the world. And if they want to believe in a God, they will look to worldly religions. They will one day realize their stupidity in accepting that way of thinking. And the Bible reveals that to us over in the book of Philippians in chapter 2. Amen. Everybody following this morning? Amen. Philippians in chapter 2, this is what God wants us to understand. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can I tell you, the Bible says everyone will realize how stupid their thinking was, how wrong their thinking was. At one point, at some day, they're going to be able to understand that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. And they all will confess that he is Lord. And for the lost, be cast into everlasting damnation. Yeah. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, though the pride of his countenance, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God, for God is not in his thoughts. Pride. I can live however I want to live. I can do whatever I want to do. I can think however I want to think. Yeah. Proverbs 15:26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Without the knowledge of truth, it's an impossibility to have right thinking. And once you know the truth, You have to choose it. Because of the wrong thinking, you have to get rid of, flush it out, and choose right thinking. That's why in 2 Corinthians, and let me just read this to you, but 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. You have to evaluate every thought. Especially when you're getting ready to make decisions, especially when you're getting ready to act, do something, you have to evaluate every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is this the right kind of thinking? Do I have the right thought? Do I have the very thinking and the thoughts of Christ in me so that I will make the right decisions? If you don't have the thinking of Christ, if you don't have the knowledge of the Bible, if you don't have the knowledge of what would be right thinking, you will not think right. If you're not thinking right, you will not act right. You've heard me say often, because it's so true, I've got to know what's right to think to be able to have right thinking, and then I need to tell myself to think that way. Because you will act according to your thinking. Wow. All forsook him and fled. They had wrong thinking. So how to correct wrong thinking? Go back with where it started from in verse chapter 26 in Matthew 26, when Jesus addressed Peter after he was not thinking the way he should have been thinking, when he thought that he had to stand up and cut the ear off and fight with the sword, when Jesus had prepared them for this, if they would have been listening. And again, he says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than That was not how Peter was thinking. But that's how he should have been thinking. Instead of thinking that Jesus cannot, he needed to change his thinking to Jesus could. How to correct it? Listen to Christ. How to make sure that you have right thinking? How to make sure that you're not acting on the wrong thoughts, on the thoughts that the devil would put in your heart and your mind concerning relationships, concerning all the different things of life? Listen to Christ. How often do you open up your heart and your mind to hear the words of Christ? How often are you in your Bible reading it? How often are you praying? How often are you in church? How often do you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God? Listen to me. That's what you have to do. You have to take the Word of God and just be inundated by it. You've got to know the very words of Christ to have the right thinking, because you can't get right thinking from the world's philosophies. You can't get right thinking from your own flesh, because you have a sinful nature. But listen. Listen to Jesus. That's what, if they had just been listening to Jesus, you need to agree with God's words at all times. If you're listening to Christ, then you need to agree with the teachings of Christ and act accordingly. And I'll tell you, I've had to do things I didn't really think I wanted to do, but I knew it was the right thing because it was according to the Bible, and I did it. I was so very thankful that I did it. over and over again. If you do it your way, you don't have the help of God. You don't have guaranteed the right outcome. When you do it His way, all things work together. When you do it His way, He has promised to bless His word. I need to remind self, He is right and I am wrong. That's where Peter messed up. That's where we'll mess up. If I go by my thinking only, I'm going to be wrong. If I yield to His thoughts, He is always right. Listen to Christ, agree with His words at all times, and tell yourself, remind yourself, He is right, I am wrong, I'm going to do what He says. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 31, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them all ye shall be offended because of me this night." Listen to Him. It's coming from God. Peter would not listen to Him. Peter would tell, "I will never be offended." And verse 35, Peter said to Him, "Though I should die with thee." He really thought that he would do that, but he was wrong. "Yet will I not deny thee." And likewise also said all the disciples, and yet all the disciples forsook Him and ran from Him less than 24 hours later. "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written," it's what the Bible says, it's the prophecies, it's God's will, it's God's way, "I will smite the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Jesus had already provided the truth for right thinking. Not going to enjoy this. This is something that's going to be difficult. But I'm going to surrender myself to be crucified. That's not going to be a very pleasant experience for me or you. But it's the will of God. But after this has taken place, then the purpose of this is going to lead to a resurrected Savior. If you had to listen, you would have realized that you might have to go through some trials. It might not be what you want it to be right now, but when you do what God tells you to do, He has a good outcome for it. There's blessings ahead. Don't take your life because you're miserable. Get rid of your stinking thinking and have the thoughts of Christ and realize there are better days to come. The teenager running from God, the most miserable person in the world is not the saved. It's not the lost. It's the saved living like the lost. And I had done some things that I was ashamed of. I didn't have a relationship with Christ even to pray. The thoughts of taking my own life was real. If I had have given in to those thoughts, I would never experienced the blessings of a marriage. The blessings of having children, the blessings of serving God, pastoring this church for 37 years. If I would have given in to certain thoughts, I'm sure glad I didn't. I'm sure glad that I confessed and repented. Ask for forgiveness turn my life around. I couldn't see the future blessings on that dark night. God, help me to believe that there would be. Yeah. Jesus had already provided the truth for right thinking. After the resurrection, Jesus went to them. He went to them to assure them of what would be right to think. We'll close with this in Matthew, in Luke in chapter 24. In Luke in chapter 24. Verse 36. Now they're afraid and they're staying together because they knew that they would be next. They were hiding in the upper room. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst. The resurrected Savior now is in their midst. He went to them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts, you got the wrong thoughts, arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. You can have right thinking. God wants you to have right thinking. Because it's only through right thinking that we make right decisions. From that point, all the disciples would face loss of many things associated with this world. But that was not their major concern. None would ever forsake Christ again. They were all willing to face martyrdom because they knew who Christ was, and they focused on his thoughts. They lived out their lives with right thinking. Can I tell you, in heaven today, they're glad they did. One day, you're going to be embarrassed because of your wrong thinking, and you're going to have to deal with the consequences of it. Or you're going to be glad because you had right thinking, which led you to have right actions and made right decisions. Let's get rid of the wrong thinking. Let's focus on the thoughts of Christ. If I could have your head bowed this morning. Do you have them? You need to have them when you're getting ready to make life-changing decisions. You need to have them when you're facing temptations. You need to have them when you're facing trials. Only you know. Only you know what's on your mind. It's what will lead you to make the decisions that you'll make. Father, we bow before you now. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the truths that we learned from Peter and the disciples and their wrong thinking and what it led to, but how they was able to come back and finish their lives strong, accomplishing things that you had them here to accomplish. Help us. I don't know what each one is facing here today. I don't know what kind of battles are raging in their, inside their own hearts and minds, but I know we all need the mind of Christ. Help us to have it. In Jesus' name, amen.